was thinking about tithes and offerings and just helping people understand about tithing and offerings and first fruits and alms. You know, there's four things about giving in the Bible, and those are the four. What I really want you to do as we teach people how to get into the principles of God as far as your giving, and that's all it is. Everybody except the new people know that the Lord really put it on my heart 14 years ago when we started Cowboy Church to not take a salary. And the reason is because growing up in all our churches, if you ever said anything about money, it could possibly split the church. I never understood that, being a young man. I never understood in college why I had a rodeo scholarship, a student loan, a Pell Grant, and also a singing scholarship. Also had to have a job. I'd do whatever. If they said we'll pay you, I'd do it, you know. And as long as it was legal, say amen to that. But I never understood why I was working so much, and I just got disgusted one day. And my family started studying what we're going to study just for a second about tithing. And that's what I did. I got into the Bible, and I started learning. I mean, I went to every single scripture in the Word that talked about giving in some way. People that had land, people that had a lot, and then people that didn't have anything. How some that gave, you know, all that they had, and it wasn't very much, and how God blessed that. How the Bible talks about giving. In Luke's gospel, it talks about how when you give, it'll be given unto you at the good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. I started watching my spiritual mom and dad, Glenn and Ann Smith, who were the sons of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And I started watching, and I saw the persecution. Oh, man, persecution that people got when they said anything about finances. I've had people leave. When they don't understand what we do here, leave, you know. Oh, they're just talking about money again, trying to get our hard-earned money. And then I started thinking about how the Word of God really is not interested in getting money from you. He's interested in getting it to you. But he can't get it to you unless he can get it through you, because you've got to get into his principles of sowing and reaping. So I want to give you one scripture that I hope will just help everybody, especially if you're struggling financially or you don't have enough to, you know, meet all the needs. I want to give you this scripture that's found in Proverbs. And let me turn there because I want to read it to you. Proverbs. And let's just read it, and it's going to be in chapter 3, and here's what it says, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. This is the King James. And lean not unto your own understanding. Listen to me. You work hours and hours and hours trying to get finances. If you start doing it God's way and you trust him, I'll show you a man and a woman that owes no one but to love them. Because see, that's what the Word says. When you really understand that, man, when you plant that seed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the kingdom of God, whatever, when you're giving, that is a seed planted. And there ought to be a harvest come from that seed. Well, if you study out Malachi, it tells you the harvest. He opens the windows of heaven to pour out the blessing so that there's no room in that barn to feel all the blessings. It can't handle it all in your life. And then it goes on and say, and it says this, that God will rebuke the devourer, the one that keeps. You ever, when I first started tithing, it was years ago, and I said, God, I know I'm going to just trust you. And I just gave that tithe, and I knew that it would short me to, you know, to meet my responsibilities that I caused. You know, God didn't cause them. And I just trusted him. And I'll never forget, I'm saying, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for I'm going to trust you. And you said you would meet my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then I had a flat tire. And was I going to give up? And was I going to say, oh, this stuff doesn't work? And then the truck broke down. And then this happened. But I was so faithful. I said, God, I am trusting you. I'm telling you, when I started that all those years ago, I have never, listen to me, ever had a financial deficit, ever, because of the faithfulness and trust I have in God. Now, I had to not, you know, just keep spending. I mean, there's discipline. But I'm telling you, when you trust him with all your heart and you don't lean on your own understanding, I'm telling you, he will bless your socks off. So I want you to start giving with that attitude. Not, well, here we go again. And you don't have the excuse of the preacher just trying to get your money to buy a new Rolls Royce. Like we heard growing up, remember? No, I don't take a salary. It's all by faith. Amen. And so when you come give with that attitude, I want you, when you drop it or when you hand it to these girls and these kids, I want you to hand it with that attitude of, I trust you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come give with a big old shout of praise. Amen. Glory. Love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. There's a little boy that he had his, and he was like, should I give this to you or not? And I understand what he's saying because I haven't seen a check of mine in years. Jamie has, though. I'll tell you that right now. Hey, give me some high five right here. Hey, ba-bam. Come on, give it to me. Ooh, that's, ooh, oh, hey, boy. Phew, that's with some authority, man. I like that. Glory be to God. Let's pray over this. Father, we give you praise and honor that we can give. Now, sir, you said in Malachi to prove you. And we just do that. We thank you, Lord, that your word is yes and amen. And we are given faithfully to the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to run a church and to do things like that. But Father, we're giving it with that heart. And I thank you, Lord, that you would meet the need according to your riches and glory by our Christ Jesus. God, return that seed back to him 100-fold. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. Say amen if you agree. Amen. Amen. All right, let's have communion real fast. Do we dismiss the kids or do they stay in? Okay, good. I haven't been here on the first of the month in a while, it seems like. I'm a little bit hungry, so I'm going to grab a couple. Okay. I'm kidding. My family driving home from Sweetwater right now, and so I got up this morning and fixed myself some pancakes. Amen. I didn't burn them or nothing. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, ma'am. Peanut butter was there. Amen. People say what? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Communion is really important to me. Just before my dad went to heaven, he and my mama would take communion sometimes three times a day. Is that right, Mom? Or more. Remembering what Jesus did. If you've never been baptized with water, I want you to do that. I mean, it's time you. That's the first act of obedience after you give your life to Jesus. And I know people have been saved for a long time and they've never been baptized, and I want you to get baptized. Because what it represents is that death, burial of the old you, and then when you come out of the water, the resurrection of the new you, now in Christ. And it's that important. I mean, the Church of Christ really understand that, right? I mean, that's a big part of what they believe is baptism. And I understand that. Thank God for it. But when you're talking about communion, it's really the same principle, because what you're doing is you're remembering now what Jesus did for you by getting beat badly. I mean, wow. Just think about it. And, you know, we don't have to really preach it over and over, but what Jesus did when he didn't have to do it was amazing. Him being a sacrificial lamb, all our Catholics that understand in the New Testament, man, they would bring that sacrifice to the altar, that animal. And that blood, you know, anybody who's ever been hunting, you understand that, man, just the blood that comes out of an animal is amazing. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He was sacrificed for you and I. And I'm not trying to be gross, but you have to understand the blood that was shed for you and for me. It's amazing. The pain that he endured for us. So really, we don't have to be in pain. He did it for us. Every curse, he broke. When he had that cross on his back, and he was taking it up to be crucified, every single thing represented our redemption, our forgiveness, our mercy, our newness in Christ Jesus. So here we have a piece of bread, and we have a cup that represents the blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want to read it out of the Amplified Version because it just amplifies it a little better. It says in verse 23, "For I received of the Lord himself that which I passed on to you, and it was given unto me personally, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was treacherously delivered up, and while his betrayal was in progress, he took bread. And when he had given thanks," and you have to understand, Jesus knew what was about to happen to him. It was prophetically declared. The Father had already told him. Of course, he was 100% man at this time, yet still 100% God. But he had to be 100% man so that all of us, men and women, could reap the benefits of what this 100% man and 100% God did for us, you see. And he knew he was going to be betrayed. And it was in the process. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." This is talking about the bread that's represented here, "which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately to remembrance. Similarly, in verse 25, when supper was ended, he took the cup also. It's represented in this juice. And he said this, this cup is the New Testament or the New Covenant ratified and established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it to call me affectionately to remembrance. Verse 26. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are representing and signifying and proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death until he comes again. Glory be to God. So when we take this, we're thanking him and remembering what his broken body meant for you and I. And when we drink this, for what his blood did for you and I. And I'm telling you, it's powerful. So let's remember what Jesus did by eating and drinking. Thank you, Father. Father, we love you. Thank you. Thank you. We wouldn't have forgiveness, sir. We wouldn't have redemption. We would be under the curse. But yet, because of what our Savior did, we are redeemed from the curse of the law. We live in the New Testament. No more laws, sir. We don't have to serve you because it's a law. No, we get to serve you because we want to. We understand what you did for us. And now, Father, as we remember that broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we now can live in victory right here on this earth. We don't have to wait till heaven, sir. We can have the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. We can have healing and restoration right here. And we as a group receive that by faith in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, give God some praise. He's worthy of it. Amen. Thank you, my brother. You're a good man. Love you. Let me make sure just pass that old cup and make sure the ushers won't get trampled. Clear the aisles. Batten down the hatches. With a big round of applause, I want to dismiss our awesome youth and our kids' church out the back end with a big old praise offering. Amen. Love you. Now, y'all that are here, grab your Bible. Let's get with it. I don't have just a lot of time, so I want to deliver what God has given us this morning. So in your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Welcome everybody that is watching live by the internet. It's an honor to have you. Hope you keep tuning in. Tell all your friends and family. Y'all that are here in the congregation, thank you so much for being here. I want you to also, through social media, and that's just the platform that we can use that is positive. Don't use it in a negative way. Say amen to that, because you can. I see a lot of things get put on the internet that shouldn't be on there. And then lo and behold, I get banned from the internet for joking about politics. Anyway, I don't care. The word of God will get out there somewhere, some way, hey? Amen? I want to preach a message, and here's the title of it for the folks in the back, or whoever puts it on the internet. I want to talk to you about praying with boldness and confidence. Praying with boldness and confidence. Now, I was preaching in the 90s in El Paso, Texas. We would drive from Lubbock. We would leave about 3 o'clock. And we would go through Carlsbad, New Mexico on the way to El Paso. And we did this once a week for a long time, for a few years. And we'd get there in time for a service, and I'd set up sound, and we'd sing, and we'd preach. We did it in a house, and a lot of people would come that heard about it. And then we would drive back, and we would get home about 5 in the morning, and that we did that, you know, each week for again, a long period of time. One day while I was preaching, I just delivered a message, and a man walked up to me after the service, and most of you know that, I don't have any lack of confidence issues or lack of boldness. Amen. And sometimes that people that don't know your heart, they might confuse boldness with being egotistical or, having, a haughty spirit or whatever. And that's not the truth for me. Because I want to do it in love. I'm not the judge. I'm just the messenger. Amen. But I want to do it with boldness. And I believe that's why in these last days you're seeing in the cowboy world, well, just cowboy churches are the fastest growing groups in the United States church-wise. I mean, you won't see a faster moving group because it's prophetically was said by Smith Wigglesworth way back when that there would be a move of God with three groups. And one of those groups was the Western world. And it's happening. But it's also going to take somebody being bold enough that can deliver a message without a spirit of timidity. I mean, we need to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ because, as you know, even in the church, we hadn't been bold enough in areas which then allowed some things to happen. Like prayer being taken out of school. And that was just because Christians backed up. And they, for some reason, were preached to that we shouldn't get into politics. And that's a lie. Because if you don't get into it, then our country goes the wrong direction. And you have to then obey the laws of the land. And so if we don't stand up to a country that was founded on the principles of the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, then it will go into a different direction than the founding fathers wanted it to. As you know, the Bill of Rights was signed, and that Declaration of Independence was signed by several dozens and dozens of ministers of the gospel. And you can see it in the Constitution, our laws and the things that was ratified. Man came from the Word of God, you see. And so if we're not bold, then obviously that's, things happen in our government that comes against the Word of God. And we don't want that to happen. Say amen to that. Amen. And so it's going to take some boldness. And I believe God's doing that in these days. So when I was preaching and this man comes up to me, he said, I just want to thank you for your boldness. And then he said this, and I've never forgotten this. He said, don't ever lose that spirit of boldness to preach. And then he walked off. For the longest time, I didn't know what he meant. But I do now. Because in these days, it's going to take some boldness. Some confidence of the Word of God. Especially when the world is telling you negative things. You see. Because the world, the enemy, is going to tell you a lot of negative things about your health, about your relationships, and so on. And if you believe them, they'll come to pass. But if we believe the Word of God, and we have the boldness and confidence believing that Word, that is what we are. Jesus became the Word, right, and dwelt among us. So now that he's been raised from the dead, we live by the Word of God only as Christians and nothing else. We don't live by opinions. No, we live by that Word. Say amen. Amen. So when you begin to pray and you have boldness and you have confidence when you're praying, woo, Jesus, that's when you can move mountains. And you can do it with some confidence. Now, I'm not talking pride. I'm not talking haughty and puffed up. I'm talking about confidence that that Word of God will work for you. I'm not saying just to spit up a prayer. Our Father, bless us today. No, I'm talking about when you pray, I'm talking about putting that faith behind it and that belief and that boldness and that confidence that it's going to come to pass. And we have lost that in the church today. Not in all churches, thank God. We still got faith people preaching this Word. I mean, not backing down. Not putting a lot of religion in with it. Well, you know, brother, God doesn't heal everybody. Oh, where does it say that in the Word of God? Even though we know that they might not get healed like we want them to, but I'm telling you, his Word is still yes and amen. And why in the world would you bring up the elders and the deacons to come lay hands on you and pray if you didn't believe in what you were praying in? So let's talk about it. Praying with boldness and confidence. I want you, as you see here in Ephesians chapter 3, and let's just read it. Read it all together, verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. In the Amplified, it says, in whom, because of our faith in him, talking about Jesus, we dare to have the boldness, the courage, and confidence of free access. This is talking about God. Everybody remembers, right, when Jesus was crucified, that he ripped that sheet or that barrier that not anybody could really go into, the Holy of Holies. Now, before he ripped that and gave us access to go boldly to the throne of God, you had to send us your sins with the priest to go into the Holy of Holies. Of course, everybody remembers, they had this little rope around the guy's leg just in case he had a little bit of sin when he was in the midst of the glory of the Lord. If he did, kill him dead, and they just would pull him out. Let's get another priest. So that's why Jesus died, right? That's why he gave his life for you and I. So that we can now go boldly, not timidly. I mean, we can go boldly to the throne of God. And we can make our petitions known. We can say, Father. And it doesn't matter if there was sin. Thank God, because of what Jesus did, you, no matter what, can go boldly to the throne of God. And you can declare to God the things that you need to declare. And you don't have to be afraid of, uh-oh, am I going to get struck down with lightning? You know, that's what we hear some people saying, why they won't come to church. I ain't going to set foot in that church. I might get struck with lightning. I've done some bad things. Yeah, but really, that is a lie that has got around in the atmosphere of the of this world, the spiritual part that has messed up the thinking in the minds of a lot of people not to be able to go to God. Now, I've done too many bad things. I have too much sin, sir. And they might respect him, but they're not going to go boldly to him. Thank God for Jesus. Because what Jesus did allows us now to, it doesn't matter, sin or no sin, we get to go boldly to the throne of God. And the good news is when you say, God, forgive me, he is so gracious that he forgives your sin and throws that sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remembers it no more as far as the east is to the west. I mean, in other words, he don't hold anything against you. Now, you got to get that into your spirit or you're not going to be bold when you pray. You're not going to be confident, you see. So here it says that in whom, because of our faith in him, we dare to have the boldness and courage and confidence of free access and unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear, you see. All right. Notice it says in whom, which tells us that our confidence is not in ourself. It's not in Corey Ross going boldly to the throne of God, right? Because that's not going to help you any. It's not going to help you to say, God, in the name of Corey. But man, when you do it in the name that's above every name, Jesus, there's some confidence and boldness and some authority right there, right? So when it says in whom, it's not talking about self. It's talking about getting self out of the way and giving us that access that Jesus actually gave you and I. Boldness describes a person with frankness of speech. It's viewed as unflinching authority. It's also associated with joy and with courage, this boldness that we're talking about here. He goes on to say, the Apostle Paul is talking right here, he goes on to say that we can have confidence, that access, that confidence when we pray. I'm talking about the kind of confidence that makes a person convinced to the core. Or in other words, rock solid, certain about what he believes and what he feels. Rock solid. In other words, he's completely persuaded with no doubt. Think about that. Now, before I go on and start preaching about how to be confident. There's some great confident people in the Word of God. So I want you to real fast to turn over to Acts chapter 4. Get in your Bible and just flip over to Acts chapter 4 and just give me some amens when you're at Acts chapter 4. I still hear some. Amen. Keep it going. Amen. Acts chapter 4. Still a few. Say oh me if you're still looking. Everybody there? Acts chapter 4. Let's start in verse 1. This is talking about Peter and John. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, these people, these temple captains and Sadducees and so on. And they put them in hold, which is in jail, unto the next day, for it was now evening tide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. Glory be to God. And the number of men was about 5,000. It came to pass. I love that. Don't y'all? Don't you like it when it says it came to pass? I mean, isn't it good when you're believing for something and all of a sudden it came to pass? Yes. I mean, it's not, uh-oh, I hope so. It kind of did. No. It came to pass. Look, it came to pass on the morrow, the next day, that their rulers and elders and scribes, Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power and by what name have you done this?" I like this part. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." Now think about this for a second. Let me set it up. Because they're in the midst, around a whole bunch of governing people. I mean, these people can say, "Hey, you know, you're going to stay in prison a long time." They had some authority in that area, right? And here they bring Peter and John and they place them in the middle. You can imagine the spirit of fear that could have been on them. I mean, imagine. Imagine, you know, you being at your job and all of a sudden the president and the vice president, the CEOs are surrounding you and you're in the middle of them and you're wondering what in the world is going on here. All the thoughts are coming in your mind like, what did I do to deserve this? The thoughts of negativity, of fear, of doubt, of unbelief are all coming in. I mean, the enemy is just pounding you, man, and you're in the midst. And then they declare things like, "By what authority? By what power? By what name have you done this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of the people of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known." This takes some confidence, right? This takes some boldness. "Be it known unto you all." I don't care if you're the CEO or if you're the president of the company. "Be it known to all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole." Come on. Come on. Don't make me get you excited. I mean, let the Spirit of God get you excited by declaring the things of truth that will set you free today. That when you pray with some confidence and some boldness and you declare the things that Peter and John just declared in the midst of the trials and tribulations of their time, seeing an impotent man be healed by the precious blood of Jesus and by faith, and then can stand up there and declare, "It don't matter who you are, sir, but it's because of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, that this man now is standing here before you whole. And Jesus," this is "the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other than Jesus," right? "For there's no other name under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved." And I'm talking about, man, they're standing up there in that confidence and boldness of who they are in Christ Jesus. So the question this morning is, are you doing that? Can you boldly stand up and say, "I don't care what the doctor says, this is what my God says. Because when you pray, you need to pray with that kind of boldness. Because if there's a little bit of fear, that's the opposite of faith. And that's why people's faith don't work. That's why people die. And it makes no sense, again, to call all the elders and the deacons to come pray and anoint them with oil if we're not going to believe what we're praying. So what happens? Well, we justify it by, you know, God doesn't heal everyone. And you see that comes in someone's mind. Okay, well, then they start praying this. I don't know if y'all have ever heard this. If it be thy will, Lord, heal my grandmama. Okay, you see there's little smidgets of doubt in amongst that prayer. Father, if it be thy will, heal me. Well, then you don't know the will of God. Because you need to know the will of God, because the will of God is that he would heal all. You've just got to do it and believe it in faith. When you speak to the mountain, you speak to it in faith, right? You don't doubt in your heart. You believe those things which you say, that what you say will come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you sayeth. See, it's going to take some boldness and confidence to be standing in front of a doctor that is saying you've got 6 months to live, and you have the boldness and confidence when you pray to say, no, God, I thank you, Lord, that I will live a long life and my body is healed by the stripes of Jesus, and I give you praise for it. Okay? It's going to take some confidence and boldness to pray that. Now listen to me. Since you have the power in your tongue over life and death, you can say, no, Father, you know what? Too much pain, I'm ready to come home. And you can. You've got a will. But here's what I want you to know. Don't blame it on God that he didn't heal you when maybe that person just wanted to go home. And I'll tell you another thing that ticks this little preacher off. Is then confessing when someone dies that God needed another little angel in heaven. My Lord, don't say that. That just means you're saying things that you're ignorantly not knowing anything about. Okay? I'm not trying to make you upset. I'm just trying to teach you that and this is the boldness that comes out of me. Get you in trouble. I would rather be a God pleaser than a man pleaser, though. You know, and of course, you know, I'm doing that out of love. You don't get offended. And let me tell you something else while I'm on a roll. When we put people in position in this church is because we want to be Holy Ghost led, that the right person goes into that position. Now, yeah, in the early years of when you're trying to start a church, praise God, you're just trying to fulfill positions. You know, we need someone to run the youth ministry. I'll do it. Okay, get in there. You know, and they might not be the right person at the start. And then all of a sudden, God will bring the right person in there. And you sometimes have that. But when someone tries to force their way in, oh man, doesn't set well good with me. I mean, because I want to look at your heart first. If I see your heart, though, is just coming to this church for a position, you know, then it's not going to work because I won't be Holy Ghost led. And so a lot of times, even in Bible study, there besides my mom, who is my pastor, you know, her and my dad was my pastor, been born again since, been preaching since 1970. Even like Ricky and Laurie, they didn't start doing Bible study for 4 years. I want to sit in here. I want to see if you trust the calling the vision that God gave me. And so I might have them start, you know, working in the children's ministry. Oh no, I don't do kids. I'm gonna find out where your heart is. Let's find out. Because if you can teach adults, you better be able to teach kids. Amen. Okay. So listen, when we're praying then, and we're seeing who God wants to put in a position, man, I want to do it with some confidence. I want to know this is the right one. If not, then we're supposed to stand. Remember that word that says, when you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore. When you've done all you can do to stand, stand. When you've done all you can do to stand, stand. Yeah, but God, I'm tired of standing. Let's go. I want to do something in the kingdom of God. Yeah, but son, when you've done all you can do to stand, just keep standing. You keep in faith. Just stand. Don't give up. Don't you back up, boy. Don't you do it. Stand. Yeah, but the resistance, sir. Oh, man. They're talking bad about me. They're getting offended. They're leaving. You stand, boy. I'm the one that called you to do what you're doing. You stand. Don't you move. Don't you back up. And then all of a sudden, come here, my brother. Come here. Come here, Nat. All of a sudden, Trevor, come here. Yeah. You get behind me. That's right. I mean, right there. Grab a hold, boys. Then all of a sudden, that wind of resistance. Man, I got some agreement right here, right? You agree?
Yes, sir.
We got to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know everybody's kind of offended.
Oh, well.
Oh, good. We're going to have to walk, and it's going to be wild. But we can't back up. Did I just knock the breath out of you?
Don't hurt yourself.
All right, boys. I know. That's why I did it. He said, I wasn't expecting that. What about now? All right, boys. There's going to be fire right here. Let's go. A little bit at a time. Resistance. Hold me up, boys. That's a little bit too much. Because the more you stand where God has put you, yeah, there may be some attacks from the left and the right and the back. Remember that word? Let me go, guys. Give him a hand. Remember the word, I think someone will find it. I don't remember where it's at. I believe it's in the Old Testament that your righteousness goes before you, and the glory of the Lord is your rear guard. So really, when you come in there knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, I'm not talking about pride. I'm not talking about being puffed up. I'm talking about having confidence and boldness in who you are in Christ Jesus. That your righteousness, which means doing what's right. My spiritual mom called me, which is not my earthly mom, my fleshly mom, right? My spiritual mom is Ann Smith. She's still living. Glenn is in heaven. Ann called me 2 days ago, and as she was building me up, Corey, I'm telling you, you are just, I'm so thankful, and I'm so proud of you. And she starts building me up for continuing on what Glenn and Ann, you know, started in the cowboy world. They was our pioneers that God used. God, I mean, if y'all remember, he told Glenn to quit his job. Glenn gave his hands 2 weeks of pay, and he said, go. There's rodeo cowboys. There's Western world people that have never heard Jesus. I mean, some had. There was some that were Bible-believing people, but the majority of the Western world at rodeos and so on were wild fighters. They would say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. It was respectful, but, I mean, you want to talk about fight and drink and so on. And he would go out there just by purely by faith. And, I mean, the ground was hard. Now it's not very hard. It's been tilled up, you know. But boy, it's hard for him. And she began to build me up. And then she, right at the end of our conversation, she started giving me, you know, just that motherly, like I get from my family, that motherly, hey, I know God's doing great things in your life, but I just want you to know that don't you get in pride. Don't let your head get so big that you start falling in some areas, and you watch who you talk to, and you watch, you know, who you tell things to, and don't you let yourself get swayed to the right or to the left, you know. And she starts speaking into my life, because see, I'm not talking about pride. I'm talking about confidence. I'm talking about boldness to go to the throne of God. See, when we pray, man, we're praying, and it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. That's what we did earlier by remembering the blood and the body broken of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if the enemy tells you, yeah, but you're not worthy. You're not, you did too much bad stuff yesterday. No, it doesn't matter. When you go to the Lord in prayer, you go with confidence and boldness because of who you really are in Christ Jesus. Forget about what the devil's telling you. He's a liar anyway. And he's the father of it. So, how do we pray boldly and with confidence? Number one, by Jesus' authority. Plain and simple. In other words, by his authority, you don't have to be sheepish. By his authority, you don't have to be timid. Number two is that we can literally stand on the promises of God. Because when you're a born-again Christian, you've asked Jesus to come into your life, then we've got to stand firm on his promises. You're standing on God's promises because they're trustworthy and they're true. Say amen to that. So if we're one to be bold in confidence, and we do it by the authority of Jesus Christ. That's why Colossians says, do everything in the name of the Lord. When you pray, you don't do it in just a amen. No, you end that prayer in Jesus' name. I'm teaching all these kiddos. When you pray, don't just say, oh, Lord, bless everything, amen. No. When you pray, you do it in the right authority. In the name. Remember what they said in the midst of all those Sadducees and so on? They said, we stand here in the name that's above every name. And it's by his power, it's by his authority that we stand here, and that this man is healed by the power of God. It's not in the name of Corey. It's not in the name of the Baptist Church. It's not in the name of the Pentecostals. It's not in the name of the Assemblies of God. It's not in the name of the Methodist Church. It's not in the name of the Catholic raisin. It's in the name that is above every name, that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's Lord. It's not in anybody else's name. It's definitely not in the name of Mohammed. Ha ha. You'll die fast. It's not in the name of that sacrificial cow you've been worshiping. It's not in the name of anything other than, say it with me, Jesus Christ. And that's your authority. So when I say, hey, how are you praying? Oh, brother, you know, I just don't know how to pray. Why don't you just simply say, Father, I need some help in Jesus' name. Father, they're trying to say I'm going to die, but I don't believe them. I believe you in Jesus' name. Why don't you just say Jesus when all hell's breaking loose in one's life? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because that's what blind Bartimaeus did. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, not the banker, Jesus. Thank God for the banker, but he better be led by the Spirit of God too. Amen. Glory be to God. All right, so check this out. Turn in your Bible real fast and we're closing. And do it fast. 1 Peter. Say amen when you get there. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm there. Amen. Ready? Verse 24. 1 Peter. That's right before 2. Ready? 1 Peter 2:24. This is when you're needing prayer over health issues. Here's what we're praying. Ready? Say amen if you're there.
Amen.
Ready? Okay, I'm waiting on you, brother. You there? Okay. Look on with someone if you're not there. We ain't got time to wait on you. You there? It's about time, boy. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bear our sins, talking about Jesus, in his own body on the tree, that we, that's us, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, ready, by whose stripes ye were healed. Let's say it again, by whose, read it with me, by whose stripes ye were, I know this isn't the King James, but just read it out of the King James if you've got all those other crazy editions. Oh, well, I just like the King James because it's lasted it's lasted a long time. Amen. And I grew up on it. But I got the Amplified beside it. Let me see what it says. By his wounds, you have been healed in the Amplified. I like that. What other version you got? Anybody got another version? Same thing? Listen. So let's say it all together. By whose stripes or wounds ye were healed. We need to say it again. See, this is what you're doing when you're praying. Father, the doctor just says, I have this disease or this sickness or this something. I have high blood pressure. I have, you know, this or that. So when you pray, if you don't want to live under that curse, when you pray, you're saying, Father, the Word of God says, remember, it says to bring him to a remembrance, right? It says, sir, that by whose stripes ye were healed. Father, it's saying that by Jesus' wounds, I have been made whole. I've been healed, sir. So by faith, sir, that's what I stand on. All right, let's do a couple more. Turn over to Philippians 4:13. Well, don't turn there, it'll take you too long. Because you know this scripture, right? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Okay, so when you say that with boldness and confidence, when I go into the box with my horse and I'm about to go in and I'm about to make a run, I say, I will do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, sir. I will do it. I know I can. I will do it. Well, see, we're doing that with boldness. So whatever you are praying about, why don't you pray with that boldness? I will do it, sir. Through Christ. Don't leave out Christ, because then you're going to have to do it on your own, right?
That's right.
So we're doing it in Christ. I can. I will do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. Because if you do it in Christ and you have that boldness and confidence, then it'll strengthen you. You won't have to do it in weakness. Amen. You'll do it in that strength. I can do it. I will do it. Sir, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I can. I will do it, sir. And you see, all of a sudden your faith rises up and you've got boldness and you've got confidence in what you're praying to God. No, you're not going, Father, if it's a good lucky day, sir, I'm hoping I live in that lucky day. I hope it's this day. I'm needing to be blessed, sir. Well, your first problem is you believe in luck. And we don't believe in luck. Now, you got to change your vocabulary. Instead of saying, good luck, no, start saying, be blessed. Because you're not lucky. But when you're praying with confidence and boldness, you won't even pray like that. You won't pray that old religious prayer of, if it be thy will. You'll say, Father, I know what's going on in my body now. I know the doctor just gave me the fact that I have Crohn's. This is what happened to me 20 years ago. Crohn's disease. Stomach hurt for 7 years. But Father, now that I know what's going on, I don't receive that. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. I'm not receiving the fact. I'm receiving the truth. And that word is truth, sir. Okay? You see what's happening when you pray? Oh, man, you're praying with some boldness then. Yeah, the doubts are going to keep coming. But what does the Bible say? Resist the devil and he'll flee. Now, don't forget the first part. If you submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. Okay, what if he comes back? Then you resist him again. If he comes back, you resist him again. Mm-mm. And it's going to take some discipline, y'all. You know, this church stuff is just not for fun. It's going to take some discipline when a negative thought comes, you take it captive. Mm-mm. Get that thought out in Jesus' name. You got anxiety? You speak to that name, anxiety, and you say, anxiety, you are a name, and I serve the Jesus that is above the name anxiety. So you're not going to make me anxious any longer. I am free from this. And when you pray, you're not saying, oh, please, Father, please, sir, please deliver me. So that's what we do, right? Now, please, sir. Sir, my cat just died. A boy will get into a crying fit. And then all of a sudden, where all the thoughts of why did it happen comes. Instead of just going, sir, Crohn's disease has no right in my body. It is not from you, because the word says every good and perfect gift comes from above. I'm not making fun of crying. I'm just making fun of when it gets so emotional that you stop speaking the word of God and you allow the justification to come in on the whys it didn't happen. So, I mean, we got to fix that part, right? All right, let's do one more and then we'll close. The 3rd John chapter 2. I like this one, man. You ready? 3rd John. It's all the way at the back of your Bible if you want to turn there. Ready? Beloved, chapter 3rd John, and then verse 2. There's only one chapter. Beloved, who's that talking about, by the way? Who's beloved? Go ahead and raise your hand. Raise it, everybody. Raise your hand. That's you. You are beloved here. Okay, ready? I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. That word prosper in the Greek is talking about material things. It's not wrong to have material things. It's wrong when the material things have you, you see. But look, and be in health. Okay, so God wants us whole in our bodies, right? Even as thy soul, what is our soul? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. Okay, so let's read it. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, or be whole, healed, even as our mind, our will, and our emotions prosper. In the Amplified, it says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper. So, in other words, if your finances aren't doing good, this is what we're praying. Father, the Bible says that I pray that I may prosper every way, in every way, this is the Amplified, and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. So when you pray, if it's right now or tonight or wherever, I want you to pray with confidence. I want you to pray with boldness. Because this God stuff's real. We're not just coming to church just to play around. You're going to be in heaven before God Almighty one day. And if you're born again, he's going to say, well done. Now, good and faithful servant, come on into heaven. That means that when you pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart, Romans 10, or Romans 9, verse 10, and you're saying, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. And it goes on to say, and then believe that God raised him from the dead. Y'all believe that, correct? I mean, in April, during our rodeo, we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. I believe it. They couldn't find his body. They're still looking. I mean, they're bringing in all those machines now to see if we can see some blood. He's got to be here somewhere. Where is he? Boy, they stationed those guards. Get this big old rock. Get it over there. Close up that tomb. Because, you know, guys, they had been prophesying and saying that he's going to be raised from the dead on the third day. Guard it, because I know what they're going to do. They're going to take his body, and they're going to go hide it, so it'll make us think that it came to pass. Let's stop it. Let's put a big old rock on that tomb, right? And you guards, watch it, night and day. And then a big old angel. Come and move that rock. And he looked in there and he wasn't there. Do you know why he wasn't there? Because he was raised from the dead. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Woman of God. Mighty, mighty woman of God. Mighty, mighty man of God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. So I say, that Jesus be more real to you today than ever before. And you let sin just roll right off. Stop doing it. Start living in the righteousness of who you really are in God and Christ. And then you talk to God boldly. Confident. I shall live and not die. I'm above and not beneath. I am the head not the tail. I'm worthy. I'm worthy to be called a son of God. To the glory of God. When you say, Jesus, come into my life, you say it with faith. Jesus, come into my life and save me. I believe you've been raised from the dead. Then the Bible will declare, as you stand before the Father, God will say, well done. Well done, well done, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on, enter into the joy of the Lord. The rest, right there. Walk in. There's a mansion waiting for you. Jesus has already prepared it. That's what I want him to say to every single person in here. I preach at the national finals this next Sunday at Mandalay Bay where all those people were killed. I don't want one person ever standing before God that I come in contact with that God would say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. So I want them to receive Jesus. When they pray it, I'm not wanting them to just pray to miss hell. I'm wanting them to believe in Jesus. And that's who we are, right? We're Jesus people. If you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you do it today. We ain't waiting. There ain't no sense in it. And that's with boldness. You do it today. And by the way, when you have boldness and you have confidence, then you train your children up the same way. I mean, you train them up. I mean, when they get confronted with opposition in some way, they don't give up. They don't say, well, this just wasn't for me. No, you teach them. No, you stand up. And you hold your ground, son. Daughter, you can do it. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. You last. See that boldness then start coming in our children, and we won't have a bunch of wimpy kids. We'll have some people know. You're not going to pick on me. And then you'll lead them to Jesus. After you have that boldness that they just see, uh-oh, I can't mess with that one. He's got Jesus. I better receive this Jesus. If you're here this morning, you've never received Jesus, pray this prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. And all the believers, let's pray it together. Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I believe that God raised you from the dead. And thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord, forgiving me of my sins, and writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. No one looking around, if you just prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus to come into your life, you'd never done it until right now. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell before that prayer. I'm telling you, if you prayed that prayer, you're heaven bound and not hell bound. If that was you and you just gave your life to Jesus right where you're sitting or where you're at watching, when I count to three, if you just prayed the prayer and asked Jesus to come into your life this morning, I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand up. And say, God, I meant that prayer. And I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. And then just put your hand right back down. Boldness. We're not ashamed. Do it with boldness. You ready? One. If that's you, get that hand up. Two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Both y'all. Thank you very much. God bless you. Just heads bowed just for a second. Eyes closed. In the black, just right behind him. Yeah, just hand him in. Yes, sir. Just grab a Bible. No one's looking. I want you embarrassed. Anybody else? I just wanted to give you a Bible. Glory be to God. All right, look at me. Thank God two people gave their lives to Jesus. Now listen. It doesn't matter when you start your walk with Christ. It's that you start your walk with the Lord. And y'all that got that Bible, I want you to know we all start trying to learn what in the world does the Bible mean. But I promise you there's help for you. There's Bible study. There's people in here that just whatever question you got, let's ask it. Let's start learning who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? And let's start praying with some confidence and boldness in Jesus' name. Did you have a good time this morning? Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. All right, let's get out of here. Real fast before we're dismissed.